Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I actually have a voice today. I'm not back at 100%, but I'm about 85. So it's really nice to not sound like I'm coughing up a lung every time I talk to you guys. So I'm doing great. I'm absolutely happy to be feeling as good as I am today. Whatever this stuff was that I got exposed to was some bad stuff. And I'm sure some kind of DARPA boys chemical contraption coming out of the doggone skies. And it's very frustrating to me to have to deal with this stuff, knowing that a lot of this stuff is basically genetically and biologically engineered in weapons defense laboratories. And it just aggravates me to know that our government allows this to go on. Of course, everybody knows now by 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Jeff Sessions was basically told to resign by Donald Trump, and that basically that do-nothing is finally gone, which I thank God for that. He was simply waiting until the midterms were over with. Matt Whitaker, he's a pretty heavy weight. I watch him. He's taken over. He thinks the whole thing is a witch hunt with Mueller. And now they're talking also about bringing Pam Bondi in as a possible contender to permanently replace Attorney General Jeff Sessions. So I'm glad that Trump is stepping up and doing something in his White House. And this is what protected Obama. Even when Clinton met with the Attorney General, all the crazy stuff that was going on, nothing happened to Obama. Why? Because the Attorney General of the United States protected Obama. And when Sessions recused himself, Trump should have immediately, Austin, within a week, asked for his resignation and put somebody in there who was going to have his back, unless this whole thing was played out the way it was supposed to have been played out, and all of these guys were in a situation where they were all working together like going to a masquerade ball. Speaking of masquerade balls, let me change topics for 1 second. UNICEF had a masquerade ball here a couple days ago, and this is an article that says, Inside UNICEF's Bizarre 2018 Masquerade Ball. Now, the reason I'm saying this right now, these are the real people that are running the planet. The people that are involved in these balls and stuff like this. UNICEF stands for the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. Remember, the United Nations is the same group that's involved with child trafficking. Its mission to address the needs of children and women in developing countries. Apparently, another mission is to host creepy masquerade balls featuring celebrities dressed in satanic costumes. Last month, UNICEF held its yearly masquerade ball at the Clifton's Republic in Los Angeles, and it was weird. While the advertised goal of the event was to raise money for children, a look at the symbolism around the party hints to another goal, to celebrate the occult elite's twisted culture in child, sex, magic, orgies, and elite secret societies. Yes, that's what was going on. There were masks and products and basically people that were exactly like they were dressed in the movie Eyes Wide Shut. Some of the people there were well-known celebrities, top celebrities in Hollywood, and it basically one of those things, guys. This is the weirdo group that they talked about in Eyes Wide Shut, who goes to these weirdo parties and do these weirdo things and dress these weirdo ways. And these guys are the leaders in the world as far as running things and controlling things, and they're Luciferians. And like I told you guys before, we the people have given it over to the government over to the military-industrial complex, them over to the CIA, these guys over to the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferians, who are involved with these guys as far as walking around and looking like a bunch of weirdo perverts as they eat full-life basically dolls that look like human beings and, you know, take chunks out of them. I mean, this is some sick stuff. And again, brought to you again by the United Nations. Now, also interesting, too, is this shooting that we just had out in California, the Thousand Oaks Bar. Tattooed ex-Marine who killed 12 people in country music bar. They're claiming he had PTSD. Of course, he kills himself. 28, you know, he's terrified of his mother and neighbors after returning from Afghanistan tour. By the way, some of the same people that were at the Vegas shooting, here we go, were seen here, and to do damage control with the press, they're saying, I guess these folks are just lucky. There are two shootings in 1 year. Here's the thing, guys. They're crisis actors, and they're being brought in to do all of this stuff. This, again, is completely and totally orchestrated to finally make people say we're going to give up our gun rights and take away the ability to defend ourselves in the United States. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, this whole situation, if you think this is coincidence the day after the election, I mean, give me a break. This whole situation is incredibly weird. I've been researching a lot on it today. I saw the same thing Dad did. A guy did an interview where a man was interviewed by a local ABC station, said he had multiple friends at the Borderline restaurant, which is where the shooting was at, who were also survivors of the Route 91 shooting in Las Vegas just over a year ago. And that there in and of itself is right there, is my opinion, is damage control already being done. Because what's that telling me is that there's people that were at both of them, that were supposed to be at both of them, that were allegedly survivors of both of them, and now when they see them come up on the TV screen and they talk about their story and they talk about how horrific it was and they talk about how horrible this was, when people say, well, that guy was the shooting in Vegas, or this guy was this, you can say, oh, yeah, they were already there. Now, I mean, is it possible that they were in both situations? Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're looking at odds of winning the lotto, we're about there at the same rate. I mean, Las Vegas, Nevada, and this place aren't exactly side by side. I mean, they're probably a few-hour drive from one another, but the likelihood of these same people being in a shooting at Las Vegas at a concert and being in another shooting a year later at a restaurant in a state over, I mean, the statistical probability of that, I'm sure if you put it on a chart, it's going to be unbelievably low. So, I mean, that just is what it is. But then what's also strange to me is I saw another interview. They said one of the witnesses, that the guy basically came in, popped smoke grenades, and then they said he was carrying a submachine gun with huge magazines. That's what he said. Now, then another report says that the shooter carried basically a Glock 45 caliber. It was a Glock 21, which is a full-size Glock. So now they're also pulling the high magazine card again. This guy had a high magazine. Whether it was a submachine gun, whether this guy mistook it for something, whether there were multiple shooters, I don't know. But whenever you see the shootings like this happen, where the guy basically goes in, shoots as many people as he can, pops smoke so everybody's disoriented, then he runs apparently in the back office and then shoots himself after he shoots a cop, that again, you know, you have to understand, when you're dealing with somebody that's allegedly this sadistic, that's willing to get in a gunfight and has this much ammo and is this prepared for the situation, what in their right mind would cause them to unleash a hail of bullets on the entire population of this restaurant, including shooting a police officer, and then running back into the office area and then shooting yourself? That has never made sense to me in any of these mass shootings, and none of them really, in my opinion, are 100% organic mass shootings with no type of anything behind them. You don't know if this guy was drugged. They already came out and said he had PTSD. They already came out and said he was on multiple medications. They already came out and said there was an incident with law enforcement back in April with this guy. So these are the things you have to look at. And like I said, the fact that this happened right after the election is a complete and total joke. And it's ironic that this guy came in basically a black trench coat with a black mask on, with a black hoodie on, the exact same attire that Antifa individuals wear. And if you guys saw earlier today as well, Antifa mob showed up at the house of Tucker Carlson, the Fox News host, one of probably the only unbiased news hosts on Fox, in my opinion, that actually gives pretty straight news for the most part. And they basically posted his personal address on Twitter. Then they posted a personal address of his brother, Buckley Carlson, as well, and basically showed up there. They had to get law enforcement out there, whole nine yards. And it was just ironic to me that this guy in California that did this shooting comes in the exact same attire that the Antifa groups do their work in. And popping smoke is also a very strategic way. If this guy really was retired Marine Corps, that's the exact same thing they did in Aurora, Colorado, if you guys remember. That is grade A, exactly what you do if you're basically going to go in and deter a lot of people in a room and not want them to see what's going on. Because, see, here's the problem. This is why SWAT teams, when they breach, they don't pop smoke. They do flashbangs. if you're about to breach a house or you're about to enter a house and you're going to engage somebody, you don't necessarily want to use smoke grenades unless you're running FLIR heat signature, basically running thermal goggles, because you can't see anybody either. People are running around wildly, and you may be able to shoot some people as they're running around in a stupor trying to get through the smoke. But one thing that it always does is it prevents people from being able to readily identify the shooter. Think about that for a second. There's a reason why SWAT teams don't pop smoke. They pop flashbangs. That disorients the population, allows you to come in and basically sweep the house. If you pop smoke, you can't see everybody in the room. You're disoriented as well because your line of sight shrinks down to about 2 to 3 feet. That's about it. So the strategic aspect of him popping smoke and then entering the premises and being able to shoot everybody is always questionable to me, because we saw the exact same thing in Aurora, Colorado, where the door suddenly swung open, smoke grenades got popped, everybody couldn't see anything, everybody got, well, not everybody, but a large percentage of the audience got executed, and then all of a sudden nobody could see anything, nobody could identify anybody. Then they find the guy basically out by his car in a stupor, leaned over, hunched over like he just did a bunch of drugs and has no idea what's going on. The situations like this don't make any sense to me. What we saw, you know, in Jacksonville not too long ago, that was halfway legit, in my opinion, from a lot of the people I talked to up there. You had some kid that basically was on a whole bunch of drugs. His parents had been divorced. His parents were both in the government. He gets mad because he loses a video game and shoots at a bunch of people. But situations like this with no background, no info on them, just the typical lone gunman. You know, and remember the guy in Jacksonville, too, he ended up getting shot, if I'm not mistaken, by police. This guy didn't shoot himself, so we got a retired Marine Corps guy who's obviously fairly aggressive, on multiple medications, armed heavily, ready to go in and shoot up this restaurant, which he does, and then after he's in the middle of doing it, he decides, I guess, shooting 13 people is just too much for him to bear, and so he runs in the office and executes himself and doesn't even get in a gunfight with law enforcement. Doesn't make any sense to me. The timing, the whole way this laid out, and then the fact that they came out with this article from ABC saying that one of the guys interviewed said the survivors were also survivors of the Route 91 shooting in Las Vegas. That right there was a huge red flag to me, because that right there told me that they're doing damage control already. So if we call these guys out for being the same people, they're going to say, oh yeah, we told you it's the same people already. This guy already confirmed it. You know, this wrong place, wrong time, I guess. And so really weird stuff. We'll definitely have to keep everybody updated as we do more research on it, Ed.
Well, personally, I don't believe he was the shooter again. I believe it's the same old, same old, same old, like with Paddock in Vegas. I believe that somebody came out there dressed in all black, popped smoke grenades. Nobody could identify him. Same thing down with the Miami, the shooter down there in Miami. You know, yep. with Sheriff Israel, nobody has him on camera. Nobody can identify him. Dressed, you know, in military garb. And you can't see who his face is. And suddenly, oh, this is the guy. Well, they go in the back and, oh, he's laying here dead. He killed himself now.
Yep.
Remember Paddock? They said they found Paddock the same way, laying there with his face blown off, with all the windows intact in his room. I mean, it's ridiculous. He never shot out of the windows. I mean, it's all a bunch of lies, Austin. And again, it goes right back to this group that wanted to disarm the United States and take over the population. I'm calling false flag on this already right now. There's too much junk and too much weird stuff that's going on with this. Another interesting story today. Supreme Court Justice Boehner Ginsburg, 85-year-old, extremely liberal communist woman, has now fallen and has broken multiple ribs in her fall. Now, here's the problem that I have with this. This lady is a hardcore leftist, pro-abortion, radical communist. And I can't say much thing, anything. Well, I can say worse stuff, but I don't want to. I don't know what to pray for this woman or what to think about this woman. She has facilitated the murder, literally in her tenure, of millions of babies. Millions. Helped facilitate it. How in the world can I hope this woman gets better? I hope she retires off the Supreme Court now and Trump puts another Supreme Court justice in who's extremely ultra-conservative. That's what I hope. Because these guys and these people that do all these things, Austin, it's hard to hope they get better. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. I mean, there's absolutely no reason when you see stuff like this, it's kind of like it's hard to have a whole lot of sympathy. And I don't know. I mean, we'd be nice to get another good, conservative judge in there as far as appointed in that area. There's no question about that. But, I mean, it's definitely weird stuff going on as well. Also, too, in other news out in weird California, Muslim Uber driver has now been charged with 5 felony counts of attempting to kidnap female passengers. Charges were filed against the driver Khalid Saladid Ali, who allegedly kidnapped 4 passengers on Halloween and led Santa Monica police on a brief pursuit. He basically picked these girls up, requesting a ride, and then drove away from their destination until they had to jump out of the vehicle. He is charged with then picking up 2 more passengers and refusing to let them leave, and then getting in a pursuit after that with law enforcement. More victims were reportedly jumping out of the vehicle. Bail was set for Ali for $475,000. You got to be careful with Uber. Uber can be very, very efficient, but I don't recommend riding with Uber unless you have a group going along with you. There's already been numerous instances of this, especially in Europe, where single females by themselves have gotten into Uber cars. They've gotten themselves raped by these Muslim migrants, because the thing about it is with Uber, all you really have to do is sign up for Uber, put in your information, put in your car information, which doesn't necessarily even have to be you. You can fudge a lot of that stuff, and boom, you got an Uber account, and boom, as soon as somebody goes on Uber, it shows that your car's driving around and you're ready to pick them up. Remember, these aren't licensed taxi cabs. These aren't registered with the state as far as with taxi cab numbers and the individual taxi cab drivers and so forth. There's very, very gray area as far as a lot of the enforcement with Uber. And then when you put in place a migrant Muslim who basically absolutely thinks white women are whores and dogs because they're not completely covered from head to toe, and they get in the back seat, they generally believe they have the right to rape them or take them off and go to crime scene number 2 and do whatever they want to do with them. And it seems to be that that's what this guy was up to. It was Halloween night, so more than likely these girls were probably dressed, you know, a little scandalous, because they were probably wearing some type of outfit, and he probably thought that it was something that he wanted to take advantage of, and so he tried. And all of them ended up jumping out of the cars, and they ended up in a police pursuit, and now he's in jail. But this is what happens when you allow people to come into a country that have diametrically opposed values and ethics compared to you. A lot of people don't want to admit this and don't want to address it, but the thing about it is the true Muslim religion under Sharia law is incredibly hateful, it's incredibly bigoted, and it's incredibly violent. And until people start realizing that and stop submitting to this Islam invasion into this country and in other countries, we're going to continue to get the same things. But I'm glad these girls were able to get out of that car alive and were only basically injured with some scrapes and bruises. But at least he was caught as well, Dad.
Well, you got to think, too. A lot of these guys, and I'm just going to say this in general, a lot of guys don't know how to approach a girl nowadays because of social media. A lot of guys never really go on dates anymore because they don't know how to approach a girl or talk to a girl because of social media. And because this whole generation that we now have being raised really doesn't understand what a male is and a female is, because they've been told there's no difference. So we've got a whole group of people now that are very insecure in who they are, very insecure in who they go out with or what they go out with, or if they even go out. And now all of a sudden you have this guy who basically is a Muslim coming over here, and he's feeling uncertain too about asking these women out from the United States. All of a sudden they're getting in his car. Now they're in his car, and he's like, oh wow, yeah, my car. You know, now that makes everything a whole lot easier, because now she's talking to him, they're asking where they're going, and he's just like, wow, okay, well I'm going to take you somewhere else because I want to talk to you some more. See, be careful, ladies. Be really, really careful, especially if you're young. You know, we used Uber a lot last year in Greece. I mean, we went all over Athens in it. It was great. It was me, Harrison, and Sharon all together. And we had a blast. We talked to a lot of Uber drivers. We got a lot of inside scoops of what was really going on in Athens. They knew the inside stories of everything. And we had a good time. Even, I remember years ago, Austin, this is a crazy story. I was in Cincinnati. I believe it was Cincinnati. I was there for a seminar. We had, I think, 20 or 30,000 coming to an event there. And they had me speaking. My publicist had me speaking at a talk show in the morning. And there was a Muslim cab driver. And I remember I got in the cab, and I got halfway there. And the guy basically says, and I looked up, and on his dash it said, we don't take $100 bills. All right. Well, I said, well, whatever. I had a couple hundreds with me. And I thought, well, I've got my Visa credit card. I was giving that. You can call dispatch. Didn't pay attention to it. So I get to the doggone station. This is a crazy story, guys. And this guy... I have a $100 bill, and I said, I can pay, the one we call the spouse, you say credit. I'm not doing a credit card. I got to pay taxes on that. And I'm like, well, dude, you're going to have to give me some change then. I'm not giving you a $100 bill, you know, and you just disappear and not come back. I mean, I need to ride back from the studio in an hour. I'm not sure you're going to come back. He turns around, Austin. He says, if you don't pay me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. He says,
yeah.
And you remember the story.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, dude, if you think I'm going to sit here and let you cut my head off, you're dreaming. I said, it ain't going to happen. In fact, now I'm calling the cops. And I had my cell phone with me. I dialed 911. About that time, he and I are getting in the argument. I'm stepping out of the car just in case he's got a blade on him. And about this time, the people come walking down the stairs from the studio outside saying, Dr. Brewer, you're supposed to be on the air. Why aren't you inside? And I said, I've got a cab driver. I said, I got a cab driver from H.E. Doublesticks here, a Muslim guy, and he's threatening to whack my head off. And they said, well, forget that. So they came out. They came downstairs, gave him the $10. I paid him back upstairs. They had change. And I thought to myself, wow, how vulnerable. Here I am as an adult male, even me, you know, 200-pound bodybuilder, ex-bodybuilder, with a guy in the car that I don't know. That's the problem with cab drivers. That's the problem with Uber drivers. That's the problem with going on a blind date that you've never met the person. That's the problem with dating online. If you're going to date online, you better take a friend with you because you don't know who these nutbags are and what they're planning on doing. And it's like Austin mentioned earlier, they're going to take you from where they picked you up to crime scene number two and where they do something horrible to you. So, guys, be really, really careful. By the way, hundreds of birds are dead now in Hague in the Netherlands during a 5G experiment. When they turned the 5G system on to see how it worked. When they first turned it on, you guys are going to be really alarmed by this. When they first turned it on, the birds started just dropping out of the trees. They couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And like every day for four or five more days, these starlings kept just falling to the ground. And finally, you know, they're all saying, look, we're autopsying these birds. There's nothing wrong with them. They haven't been poisoned. They're just dropping dead out of the trees. Well, guys, have you heard of the term the canary in the coal mine? What that means basically is this. They'd have a canary down inside of a coal mine if they ever had methane release from drilling or digging coal, which could kill the miners. The canary would die first. And they knew that the canary, if they looked over, wasn't singing in his little cage anymore, and he was dropped dead. There was methane in there. And those birds were dead. And the bird was dead, and they would know immediately to get out. Guys, this is what's going on right now in the Netherlands, in Hague, with this crazy stuff that they're doing with 5G training. Let me give you the dates on this and what happened, exactly how many died. They cranked it up Friday, October the 19th, 30 starlings just fall dead. They did it again on Wednesday, October 24th, 30 more starlings drop dead. Then October 25th, they do it again, now 88 starlings drop dead. Then on Thursday, November the 1st, they cranked it up again, another 138 starlings drop dead. And this goes on and on and on and on. And you'd be thinking sooner or later to think, well, maybe we're killing starlings. But that's not how these guys think. Because, you know, people aren't dropping dead. But they don't realize that people don't die as quickly as a bird's going to die. And it's one of those things they figure, well, if they don't kill you right away, they'll tell you it's okay and it's healthy for you. Kind of like all that radiation from Japan being pumped into the Pacific Ocean. We're not all dead yet, so we're thinking, oh, it's okay. It really wasn't that bad after all because, you know, whatever, if we had basically all dropped dead, which would be kind of crazy, then we'd all know it was bad for us. It's kind of like when the scientists back in the 50s decided to detonate nuclear hydrogen bombs in the atmosphere to try to blow a hole in the ozone layer to try to vent oxygen off the planet to get rid of pollution, thinking that this maybe it might be a possibility of the Earth venting all of us oxygen and every single person on the planet being killed, and they did it anyhow. These guys are nuts. By the way, just another crazy one here out of England, out of Europe. this is crazy. A pensioner, a retiree, 69 years old, who now identifies as being a 45-year-old, wants to legally change his age so he can pull on Tinder and have more dates. What do you think about that, Austin?
I don't even know what else to say about that, to be honest with you. I mean, the whole online dating thing in general has just gotten weird. I mean, as you said before, you know, this is one of these, this generation we're in now where, you know, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with online dating, especially people that are extremely busy and they're older and they're trying to find somebody. It can be quite efficient. The problem is I feel like the younger generation now has adopted this model of dating when it really should be used for people that are older in their 30s or 40s that are, you know, maybe divorced divorced or super busy with work, and they're trying to find somebody to date, and they don't feel like going out all the time. But now this whole younger generation is just getting very strange with it. And as Dad said before, a lot of these times, and I've seen this personally now, these kids don't know how to communicate with girls. They'll talk a great game on Tinder or Facebook or whatever social media platform they're on, and then they go out on a date, and they're like, sitting there with their hands folded. They don't know what to do. They look like they're a 12-year-old that just took a cookie out of the cookie jar and got busted. They don't know what to do with themselves. That's what we're having happen now because of this online everything, because nobody knows how to actually have a conversation anymore face-to-face. Everybody wants to do everything via text. Really, really weird generation we have now, and that's why I always tell people, if you have kids, make sure you're not letting them get wrapped up on these phones all the time, at all. Be careful of it, because the thing about it is, guys, these phones are incredibly addictive to children, incredibly addictive. And there's no reason at all you need to be allowing a young child to be wrapped up with these phones for an extended period of time. Just none whatsoever. And the problem is, the longer they do it, the more active they get on it. And the more active they get on it, the less they actually develop true relationships, that develop true conversational aspects as far as the ability to talk to one another. There's an article I saw here in Daily Mail earlier. I just want to pull it up real quick because I didn't have it earlier. I saw it, though. It says, on average now, children have over 1,000 pictures posted of themselves online before they turn 13 years old, as their data is now harvested by smart toys, speakers, and even school apps. Anne Long of the Children's Commissioner for England spoke about social media. They said, before a child becomes a teenager, there are 1,300 photos of them online on average, and they post up to 70,000 times before they turn 18 years of age. She also warns the dangers of the internet-connected children's toys such as Cloud Pets and Amazon Echoes are harvesting data without parental consent and storing it online. This is my opinion. This has been built intentionally, and this is why the 5G is about to get so hot so fast, because they want to be able to completely control and monitor what these kids do, and soon they're going to be able to do full mind control, predictive programming, exactly what they want them to do, how they want them to do it. Anybody think it's odd that we have these kids now that are 17, 18, 19 years old that are rallying up with these groups, whether or not they're being paid or not? I haven't seen them get money. I've heard allegations of that. But the kids are becoming more and more impressionable now. These children that are not very old at all, usually late teenagers, are acting like they're literally under mind control. If you think about this now, from the 5G network to the phone systems that they're literally on day in and day out, then the video game systems, then the internet and the YouTube and everything else they watch, then they go to school and they get indoctrinated with the common core political correct garbage, basically told they can't say this and they can't say that, and everything they know about America is bad, and anything around America is bad, and we need to basically be a globalist society now. All this stuff they're getting constantly bombarded into, guys. It's not an accident. They're doing it on purpose. So the next wave of these kids, this Generation X that's going to come forth and eventually start getting into politics in the next 10 to 20 years, these guys are going to be an absolute failure when it comes to true constitutional law and protecting our republic. And this is why they're doing it. And that's why, again, I dial back to urge the parents, do not allow your kids to be on the social media sites and on the internet and on the phone all the time. There's, in my opinion, there's no reason for a child to even really have a cell phone before the age of like 15, 16, before they start driving. Now, if you need to give them one for a protection reason, as far as they need to be able to call you for an emergency, or they're going out with friends, or they're going to do this, you're going to drop them off at the mall, whatever you're doing, I got that. If you need that, go get them one of the prepaid phones at, you know, at Sam's, or go buy them one of the phones on eBay or something that's basically a flip phone that you can add on 1,000 minutes onto it, and that's it. No internet connection, none of that. That's all they need. They can call you or they can text you if they need to. There you go. Boom, done, finished. So when you have that excuse where the kids go, I don't have a phone, all of my friends have phones, it's not safe anymore in the world without a phone, I don't feel like I belong anywhere without a phone, be like, okay, fine, I got it. You're 13 years old, you want a phone? Sure, here, You get 100 minutes a month on your prepaid phone app. Better make sure it works or else we're not putting any more minutes on it till next month. And if the worst comes to shove, you don't give them the phone if they do something bad. That way you have something to basically take away from them as a tool, and so they don't become addicted to it and they don't use it as a crutch, as so many kids are doing now. But when I saw this article earlier today, Deb, and on average, children have over 1,000 photos of them, over 1,300 pictures before the age of 13, and make over 70,000 posts before the age of 18 now. That's a pretty sobering statistic when you start realizing how much time it takes to do this. And you got to remember, these kids, most of these kids aren't doing this for business. They're not doing this for marketing. They're not doing this for the company that they're running. 99.9% of these kids are doing this simply to waste time, and they have nothing else to do, and they're literally living in an alternate reality on their phone, inside of their phone, inside their social media life. And that's not healthy, guys, and it's not going to be productive as these kids get older.
You know, Austin, you know, you didn't have a phone until, I think, 14 or 15 when you started over at Polk State College. And same thing with all the kids. And quite frankly, you don't even need one then, because you can call us at the house, call our phone from any of the phones that the administration will let you use. So it doesn't really make any difference. The biggest problem I have with telephones is this, are things like Snapchat, in which you have these nefarious conversations going on, in which good kids get involved by saying bad things and things they shouldn't be doing because they have easy access to other kids, as far as, let's all meet together at 2 o'clock tonight in the backyard or whatever and sneak out from our parents' house. See, when you don't have a phone, you can't do junk like that. You can't call people up and start doing that kind of stuff because they're not accessible. And you're not going to be, or their parents are going to hear about it. I mean, it's just, you don't have that. But nowadays, everybody is so sneaky and like to sneak around and do stuff. And, you know, it's just, and guys, I know people that have had daughters that have snuck in the house at 2 o'clock in the morning and met their boyfriends miles away and had sex with them while taking drugs. And you're thinking, you got to be kidding me. No, man, I know that. And they did it all via telephone. All via telephone. And then finally, the parents found out about it, at least they intervened. But the problem is, a lot of parents won't intervene. I have a friend of mine here in town. I'm not going to mention any names. She's got a couple of kids, a couple of boys. She's not married. She's single right now. And the oldest son stoned literally every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's like 14, 15 years old. And she refuses to intervene. She refuses to send him away, refuses to send him to go, you know, adult treatment program or child treatment program, and just thinks he's going to get over this. Guys, they don't get over it. A lot of kids never get over it. Sometimes they might. I can't say they never do. Sometimes they might. Sharon's own brother started doing dope when he was like 13 years old, Todd, and it wouldn't stop. And I kept warning his dad, warning his dad, warning his dad. This is their mother. Sharon's dad got remarried again and would not stop, would not stop, would not stop, would not stop. Finally, 37 years old, he ODs on heroin. And he stayed stoned literally for 25 years. And the crazy thing about it is the dad still doesn't admit that this even happened. It's crazy. But guys, it's just, nobody wants to believe your kids are doing something stupid. You know, we're all proud of our kids. But you can't do that. You gotta look at it and say, nah, you're being stupid. We gotta talk. But I got to take the phone. I got to take the car. I got to put you on restriction. Whatever you have to do it. Because if you don't, what if they don't get better? You don't want to be in a situation that you're saying, oh, I wish I would have. I could have. Yeah. I should have. You don't want to be doing that. I should have done this. I could have saved his life. I should have done it. I could have. I would. Oh, I wish I would have. No, that is not the place to be. That is not a good place. You want to be, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I intervened with this child. I'm so glad I intervened in this situation. I'm so glad I put a stop to this. Because here's the thing. If they're 14, 15 years old and they turn into stoners, their brain development stops, and they ruin the rest of their lives because of that, it's not their fault. It's your fault. Because you weren't regulating them heavily enough. If you got any idea they're doing this, blood test them, urine test them. Take them and get hair analysis done. You know, don't allow them to continue to do it on and on and on and on. If they're coming in and their eyes are dilated or they're drunk or whatever, it's not cool. You got to realize that kids have to have a type of structure in their life, or they want to experiment with everything in some cases and do everything in some cases, and sometimes ruin themselves, ruin their lives, ruin their future, ruin their health, sometimes die from it. So, guys, think through this stuff with telephones. I mean, I agree with Austin. You know, young kids, especially, I see kids 2 and 3 years old with phones. It's ridiculous. By the way, this is from the Daily Wire. Patriarchy, you know, men, right? Democrats blame, shame white women now for losses in key states. This is just as the these are these screeching harpies that I talked about. As the much anticipated blue wave failed to materialize Tuesday night, Democrats started looking for an immediate scapegoat. But targets were few. The pollsters had almost gotten the election right. Their well-financed and celebrity-endorsed candidates had become national sensations, and their target demographics turned out to vote in droves. It took until the exit polls emerged for Democrats to finally settle on a satisfactory scapegoat: white women. It's all about the white women who had defied their oath to the Democratic Party and the edicts of feminism to cast ballots for the Republican Ted Cruz in Texas, Republican Ron DeSantis in Florida, and Republican Brian Kemp in Florida. It's all about the white women. The attacks were swift and merciless as feminists and leftists alike descended on white women, accusing them of betraying their gender by selecting a candidate of their choice based on their needs rather than following the marching orders from the feminist movement. Radical feminist author, not even going to give you her name, declared white women who voted for Republicans in Florida, Georgia, Texas, foot soldiers of the patriarchy. Guys, I don't know why these women... And they're all ugly, by the way. They're all ugly. They're all absolutely hideous. I don't know why they feel this way. I don't know why they've got to walk around wearing vagina hats and doing this crazy stuff. I don't know why they want to go back and say 25 years ago people raped them when they had sex with them when they were both willing participants. I don't know. I can't figure it out other than somebody dropped them on their head. They've been brainwashed and indoctrinated by the mainstream media with this constant onslaught of lies. Guys, it's not about patriarchy. It's not about matriarchs. It's not about white women or white guys or black women. It's about the truth. It's about justice. It's about the American way. It's about realizing that we have to continue to raise little Americans if we're going to maintain the republic. And we can't go into a communist dictatorship and the whole country turn into a giant squalor like it is in all these other communist countries. Guys, keep telling the truth. Keep standing for what's right in God's eyes. Keep being led by the Word of God. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, and the irony of this, and I was on, you know, I was on J.B. Wells the other day, which was a privilege to be on that show. And one thing he said, he said very clearly, he said almost the motto of the leftist Democrats is hypocrisy knows no limits. And the fact that they think they can literally do anything, and they do. And then if we do something in return that's exactly the same, it's an all-out debacle, and they absolutely pitch a fit. If we came out and we said, oh, my gosh, we lost the House. You know why we lost the House? Black women. Black women is why we lost the House to the Democrats now. This is absolutely unacceptable that black women voted for Democrats. I cannot believe that the black women did all this and caused us to lose the House. Could you imagine if we went out and started tweeting that and started talking about that on air, especially started saying it sincerely? These aren't jokes. These aren't cameos. These guys aren't joking around. They're not making jokes. They're not making funnies. These guys are dead serious when they're saying this. Yet if we said something exactly the same way, same context, they would flip a lid. They'd be all over social media, all over CNN News, all over every single news outlet, basically talking about what bigoted, racist neo-Nazis we were, that we would say something so hateful and so degrading. Yet when they say it, it's completely okay. You know, I saw that video yesterday of Acosta, that blithering idiot from CNN, basically wouldn't shut up and wouldn't give the microphone away, trying to get his claim to fame while he was in front of Trump at the Q&A. And Trump told him multiple times, you're done, pass the microphone. You're done, pass the microphone. And finally, this sweet little girl that's like an intern, you can tell she's there basically just to hand the microphone around. That's her only job. She goes over there and tries to basically take the mic and hand it to somebody else. And Acosta throws up his elbow and twists sideways so he can't get it. And now CNN, The View, all these other liberal mouthpieces are saying, well, the girl committed battery on him because she actually touched him when he moved. She touched him first, and she needs to be charged with battery, even though Donald Trump said multiple times, your turn's up, pass the mic, because all Acosta wanted to do was babble on about the Russian hoax. Stupid stuff, with legitimate questions, just rambling on like a babbling hyena like he always does. And it's ironic because, again, if that would have been flipped, if that would have been Obama being president, president, and that would have been some hardcore Republican down there asking him questions, and some girl walked over that was under Obama's cabinet and tried to take the microphone away, and Acosta acted the exact same way, they would pitch a fit. They would say that girl basically has been, you know, sexually battered now, that the CNN representative or whoever's the representative basically needs to be fired, all this stuff. The good thing I did see is after that incident with that blithering idiot Acosta, they revoked his press pass now, temporarily, but indefinitely. And they brought that out today, which I was glad, because that guy doesn't have any place being in a Q&A with the President of the United States, as disrespectful as he was yesterday, and his refusal to shut his mouth over the same topic. See, the reason why they keep bringing this up about the CNN, I've said this so many times, I'm going to repeat myself again for our new listeners. The reason why, because a lot of people keep asking me this, like, why does this whole Russian thing keep coming up? You know, it seems like nothing's coming on about it. Listen, guys, if there was a legitimate issue behind a Russian investigation and the Russian interference and Trump meddling with Russia, do you think the FBI is efficient enough after 2 years to finally find a smidgen of evidence? I would say so. I would figure somebody would have found something somewhere in this giant surveillance world that we live in now. But they haven't, because in my opinion, there's not anything. The reason why they keep bringing it up is because if you say the same thing enough times, people will believe it is truth. People will begin to believe a lie if you repeat the lie enough, over and over and over again. So it doesn't matter if there was zero Russian collusion. It doesn't matter if nothing happened with that. But Acosta gets on national television with a microphone, with a Q&A in the front row with the President of the United States and says, what do you think is going to happen with your Russian investigation now that the Democrats hold the House? That's what he said. And Trump goes, dude, that's a Russian hoax. I'm tired of hearing about it. You're not even asking legitimate questions. Pass the microphone. That's what happened. But the reason why he said it isn't because there's any Russian collusion. It's because they want to continually push it into the brains of the American population, subconscious, of there is a Russian hoax, there is a Russian collusion, you need to believe it, we're right, there's Russian interference, you have to believe it, we tell you the truth, it's not fake news. This is what they're doing now, and it's absolutely nauseating to me. These guys have no other tactic except lies and repetitive lies and repetitive lies over and over and over again, and that is the only way they get anything done, the same way that Gillum almost won Florida the other day, which was pretty frustrating to me, because if you tell people that if you give them enough free stuff that they vote for them, if we'll give you a free health care and free housing and free cell phones and free everything, even though you have no intent and you have no ability to actually pay for that whatsoever, same way California's been doing it now for the last 20 years, to the point now they're completely and totally insolvent. I mean, they need tens of billions of dollars in federal aid from the United States government every year now. Doesn't matter. Let's not look at what's going on. Let's not look at the millions of people in the homeless camps. They're defecating all over the streets. They're actually having to bring hazmat teams in to clean up all the feces off the sidewalks over towards San Francisco now, because there's so many homeless. Now they've purportedly put forth an effort. Now they're saying they want to issue an edict that they'll start paying the homeless people to clean up their own feces. So when the homeless people defecate on the sidewalk, we'll pay you to clean up your own feces now. That's what they're doing in California. So let's not think that that's some utopia of perfection over there now that the Democrats have held it. That is exactly what happens in every state. That is why all they do is base everything off lies, Dad. But it's just getting crazy.
Well, it's the communist way. And that's what people don't understand, is when you have communism, it always degrades. It always goes broke, because you're always taking everybody's stuff. And everybody gets tired of having their stuff taken, so they quit working so they can take other people's stuff. And pretty soon, nobody has any stuff to take. And everybody's living in poverty. It happened completely that way in the USSR. You still go over to Poland and Czechoslovakia, and you go into the eastern parts of those countries. And I've done this with Slovenia. You go over there where the Russians basically were. All you see are project housing. It's awful. Everything's run down. All the roads have giant potholes in them. The places are awful because they took everybody's stuff until nobody else had any stuff to take. And everybody had enough of it. Everybody quits working. Yep. See, that's what happens when everybody gets in the cart and nobody's pulling the wagon. Pretty soon the wagon doesn't go anywhere because no one wants to work, because if they do work, it's not fair because everything they have is taken away. Crazy stuff. By the way, American Heart Association is now preparing to revise cholesterol guidelines again.
Jeez.
Again. this is nuts. An American Heart Association will soon be meeting in Chicago to set new guidelines for treating high cholesterol. Of course, they consider high cholesterol anything, you know, over 200. And they don't even look at the fact that cholesterol is a blood lubricant that helps to maintain proper blood flow and helps to prevent hardening of the arteries. And when you lower cholesterol down, all disease rates go up, including heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And they're all they want to do is push their statin drugs. Guys, cholesterol-lowering drug scandals, I mean, this is critical. I mean, CoQ10 is so important for a strong heart. It's so important that when you take CoQ10, or when you take statin drugs, you stop your body's ability to produce CoQ10, and you have massive problems with heart disease and decreased heart strength in the muscle. Then you have congestive heart failure. And for a doctor to put a person on statin drugs and not put them on coenzyme Q10, he's basically he's a quack as far as I'm concerned. Because, guys, we have to understand something. If we don't eat the right foods, take the right foods, and basically have our family do the same thing, we're going to deal with all kinds of health issues later on down in life, which, of course, this is what they want, because they want us to come in and come down with heart disease or diabetes and die young. By the way, another article has just come out from Holistic Living, and it says farmed salmon is one of the most toxic foods in the world. Yep. I mean, I've told you guys this over and over and over again. Now they're saying the same thing, and they're saying don't eat this stuff. It's really, really, really bad. And, guys, I don't know how I can tell you guys how bad this is any more than I've already done that. It's kind of like canola oil. Canola oil is destroying your heart, even if it's organic. And there's all kinds of natural things you can do other than use canola oil. Canola oil is from the rapeseed plant. And it basically is an ingredient used in frying and baking. And it's almost in every single processed food now, including stuff at the health food stores. It's a genetically engineered plant. It's sprayed with toxic Roundup. It's got all of this stuff on it. And even if you get it organic, it won't help you because it elevates the omega-6s in your system, and it makes your blood and your blood real, real thick. Although modern rapeseed oil or canola oil was specifically bred to lower the uric acid to 2%, you should know that uric acid oil was found to create heart lesions in animal studies. This is like, remember, they used canola oil also to make varnishes and lacquers. Yeah, this oil is constantly touted as heart healthy. The industry says this lower uric acid profile is safe, but I don't believe them. This is that bad. The oil promoted is a healthy alternative to other oils and animal fats because it does have some omega-3 fats. But, guys, it's all bad oil, and it needs to be completely avoided. Remember, heart disease remains the number one killer in the world. And we have to understand that canola oil is one of the primary causes that this is happening. And we have to understand also it's still the hydrogenated oil that people are eating and getting into their system. But we really shouldn't be using any canola oil whatsoever or any trans fats or margarine. Use real butter, organic. Use coconut oil. Use peanut oil if you do not have peanut allergies. Very important. Use avocado oil. Use avocado mayonnaise. Use real butter. You know, olive oil. I mean, all these things are so much better. Even walnut oil, but that's very pricey. There's all kinds of natural oils that you can use, and olive oil is the best. Just make sure you get a good source that's not going to be contaminated or cut with other kinds of oil, like canola oil, because a lot of the olive oils on the market today, they're cut with canola oil, and it's not put on the label because they're not tested for it. Austin, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. You want to make sure you're getting 100% pure olive oil. Same thing with avocado oil. Avocado oil is really good stuff. 100% pure organic avocado oil. You want to make sure, like Dad said, you're not getting stuff that's cut. But going back to the cholesterol thing, because this has been a frustrating topic for me for years, because I get so many emails. This is probably one of the most talked about topics that I get questions on, is people that are on statins, primarily because it's one of the number one selling pharmaceutical drugs in the entire world. Are statin drugs. And in my opinion, it's probably one of the worst pharmaceutical drugs from a standpoint of it's not something you're taking for a medicinal purpose, like, you know, an opioid for pain or surgery like that. You're taking it for no specific purpose whatsoever except to lower your cholesterol, which has been turned to increase all types of other diseases and make them go through the roof. But I've talked about so many studies, but there was one 2 years ago that I always refer back to because it literally slapped every cholesterol doctor in the face. It was a study carried out by the University of South Florida and the Japanese Institute of Pharmacia and various other international institutes, Japan, Sweden, UK, Ireland, US, and Italy. And the researchers chose 30 studies to analyze. 28 studies looked at the link with death from any cause. 12 found no link between LDL and mortality. 16 actually found that lower LDL was linked to higher mortality rate, the opposite of what was to be expected. Only 9 studies looked at the cardiovascular mortality link specifically. And so the interesting thing about this was they found, again, that cholesterol and heart disease are not linked whatsoever. You have people that have high levels of cholesterol, but you also have to look at their overall diet when they die. If you got somebody that they have, you say you test them, they have 300 cholesterol, and their LDL's through the roof. And all of a sudden you go, well, cholesterol killed him. Well, hey, wait a minute. What about the fact that he's 400 pounds and has been eating 15,000 calories a day of hydrogenated oil and high fructose corn syrup? No. That couldn't be any factor at all. It's only his cholesterol that killed him and gave him the heart attack. Guys, you have to look at the bigger picture of what's going on here. Statin drugs are a multi-billion-dollar a year industry, but not just that. The side effects from statin drugs are literally a mile long. Those drugs that cause those side effects always lead people to go back to doctors, and I've literally witnessed this personally in emails when people have gone on statin drugs, and all of a sudden their mental acuity starts going out, their kidneys start hurting, they start losing muscle mass, their stomach starts having issues as far as bloating and digestion, they can't digest their food properly, they basically start losing weight rapidly, or they start gaining weight, they have no energy, they have no sex drive, or they start coming down with other diseases. Those are literally just the top things that I've heard dozens and dozens and dozens of times of people that have gone on statin drugs, including arthritis and everything else. So what happens is the statin drug, in my opinion, this is my opinion, isn't just used as a multi-billion dollar revenue scheme to scare people into taking this drug, all in the guise of preventing heart disease from cholesterol that can't even be linked back to that whatsoever. But it's used also as a drug to cause a host of other side effects to keep people stuck in the medical industrial complex and in the pharmaceutical complex, so they have to continually go back to the doctor for more health problems and more pharmaceuticals and more drugs and more checkups and more tests, because they're having more health problems the longer they stay on statin drugs. And before long, they're on 10 different medications. They have to see the doctor every 30 days. They feel absolutely horrible, and their insurance continues to pay for all of these nefarious things they're continually having to do via their doctor telling them to do so. And it all stems back to, in a lot of cases, not all of them, but in a lot of cases, the statin drugs were the main culprit that caused all these health issues from the very beginning. And so I've had so many emails. People, they email me and go, dude, I'm perfectly healthy. Had a lot of energy, was really strong. You know, I'm 40, 50, 60 years old. I'm in the gym all the time still. I still have a decent libido. And I go into the doctor. The doctor goes, well, your cholesterol's at 202. You got to get on these statins now. You're going to die. You go, well, I feel fantastic. No, you don't understand. Your cholesterol's 202. You're about to die. You could die right now. Actually, I hope you make it out of here before you die. And you go, but I feel really good. Like, I'm actually really good shape for my 50s or 60s. No. You got go to the pharmacy right now. You need these statin drugs. Your cholesterol's 202. It needs to be around 160, 170. And when you come back, I'll test you in a month again. We'll see how you're doing. If it's not, we'll keep you on them permanently. And, of course, they always keep them on them permanently. Then you come back to the doctor in 30 days. Of course, your cholesterol's only slightly lower. They say, oh, no, needs to be lower again. You need to stay on them. They continually keep you in the doctor's office. After 6 months, you come back in, and you're like, dude, I have no libido. I can't do anything anymore. My wife, oh, well, here, take Viagra. You'll be fine. Here's another prescription for that. And you go, okay, well, I can't get any type of, you know, energy or mental acuity to do this. Okay, we'll put you on Adderall now. That'll help out because you got ADHD. It's probably happened because your cholesterol was too high. And you go, that doesn't make any sense at all. That just sounds stupid. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm a doctor. I know more than you. Now you need to go to the pharmacy now. Get your drugs. Go. That's exactly how it goes all the time, guys. That's why the statin drugs are the most important things, in my opinion, to stay off of. If you have overtly high cholesterol and you're trying to change it, first thing you need to do is check your diet. That is 100% the first thing you need to do is look at your diet. Start adding in good, healthy fats and cut out the negative fats like Dad just talked about. The canola oil, the hydrogenated oils. And then, if you need to, look at the Cholesterol X, look at the cod liver oil, look at the vascular relaxant that we carry. But in my opinion, there is no reason whatsoever, unless it's an absolute crazy emergency and you need to use it for a very short period of time because your cholesterol is out of control, that you need to go on these drugs long term, Dan. That's just my opinion.
Well, I can't say any better than that. By the way, here's another study just to add some more fire to that, fuel to that fire. Fluoridated water now has been, a new study found that fluoridated water, which most people drink, calcifies arteries. But let's not talk about that often. Let's not talk about how fluoridated water will cause calcification of your arteries and cause you to have heart disease and heart attacks. Let's blame it on cholesterol. Unbelievable. And same thing with chlorine in the water. Chlorine and fluoride both massively increases the risks of heart disease and atherosclerotic plaquing, as do calcium supplements. And here's the thing. We're finding all these studies now that are coming out saying that all these chemicals are so bad for you. Guys, I've been telling you this for 30 years. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again. Thanks for praying for me. I'm getting all these emails and texts saying, how are you doing? You feeling better? Obviously, I'm doing better today. Hopefully, my voice will be back for Hagman tomorrow night. And I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your Coenzyme Q10 from us and your multiple vitamins from us and all the things that we talk about. Thanks for being here. Thanks for allowing us not to have to sell airtime on the show so we have a straight 1 hour with you guys every day because you support us like you do. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. We do appreciate everything you continue to do for us. Thank you for the order comments, the positive feedback. We really do thank you for all of it. And please feel free to leave a review on the products. We've had that up for a while now. I'm trying to encourage more people to do it. If you buy a product from us and you like it, we have a review tab on that product screen. You can scroll down to the bottom and leave a review. We'll write your opinion on it. If you have an issue with it, contact us as well. You know, that's what we try to do, is help everybody out as much as physically possible. So if you're not happy with a product, let us know. That's why we have a 90-day money-back guarantee. We either swap you out a product or fix it or make it right. We want you guys to be happy. We appreciate your support and everything you guys do for us. Please be sure to forward these shows out. Make sure you're getting this information out as much as you can to as many people. We already know we can't rely on Facebook anymore. We can't rely really on social media anymore, unfortunately. It's just being censored so heavily, there's no other option. So we go to plan B, C, and D at that point. You always improvise and adapt and overcome, and that's what we're continuing to do every single day. So please help us in this fight, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for everything. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.